The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 2, text number 9, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Hatikari, recorded on June 7th, 2008, in Sydney, Australia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 2, Daksha curses Lord Shiva, text number 9.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Shruyatam Brahma Risho Me Sahadeva Sahagnaya Sadhunam Bruvato Vrittam Nagyanam Nacha Matsarat.
Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. All sages, Brahmins, and fire gods present, please hear me with attention, for I speak about the manners of gentle persons. I do not speak out of ignorance or envy. In speaking against Lord Shiva, Daksha tried to pacify the assembly by presenting it in a very tactful way, that he was going to speak about the manners of gentle persons. Although naturally this might affect some unmannerly upstarts, and the assembly might be unhappy because they did not want even unmannerly persons to be offended. In other words, he was in complete knowledge that he was speaking against Lord Shiva in spite of Shiva's spotless character. As far as envy is concerned, from the very beginning he was envious of Lord Shiva. Therefore he could not distinguish his own particular envy. Although he spoke like a man in ignorance, he wanted to cover his statements by saying that he was not speaking for impudent and envious reasons.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Purijanasaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha.
So, there is one story that a man in the night, he heard some sound in his house. And he said, "What is that?" And the voice said, "Don't worry, I'm not stealing anything." So immediately, one can understand, he's a thief. So Shiva, he is like Daksha here is saying, "Oh, I'm not speaking out of ignorance or envy." He's actually exposing that he is speaking out of ignorance or envy. As we discussed yesterday, this is a whole series. This chapter is a big, big example of Vaishnavapura. We're going to hear so many words, horrible, blasphemous words coming from Daksha's stool mouth to blaspheme Lord Shiva because he was thinking, even though Lord Shiva is acknowledged as the greatest Vaishnava, the very exalted, one of the guna avatars, you see, very big, big position. But he's thinking, oh, he's my son-in-law. Therefore, he asked why he didn't respect me, why he didn't stand up when everyone else stood up. He's my son-in-law. Besides that, he's very dirty. Yeah, he's smeared with the ashes of crematoriums. Therefore, he's a very low-class, dirty person. But I am very exalted, Daksha. And therefore, because he didn't stand up to honor me, therefore I was greatly offended by him. So in this way, you see, Daksha is casting his own doom, you see. There's nothing more dangerous than Vaishnavapura. Especially the devotee of the caliber of Lord Shiva, such an exalted Vaishnava, Param Vaishnava. We have to be very, very careful not to follow the example of Daksha and commit Vaishnava Parad because it will kill us. He's actually asking, please hear me with attention. Can you imagine? He wants to make sure that everybody, he says, all sages, he wants to make sure that every single person in that assembly will hear his blasphemy. I mean, it's one thing to mutter something under your breath if you're angry at some devotee, you see. But it's another thing to say, okay, I want everybody in the temple to come here and I want everybody to hear what I'm going to say. And then, you can imagine how proud he was. You see. He wanted to make it very, 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 very public that now I will say these words. And don't worry, it's not out of ignorance and envy. So, in this way, Daksha is definitely an acharya, teaching us what not to do. We can learn, he is also our guru, he's teaching us what not to do. He's the opposite type of guru. Normally the guru, he shows by his example what you should do, you see. But he is showing by his example what you should definitely not do. So it's quite it'd make an incredible movie, you know, the whole scene. Hollywood could really do something spectacular with this pastime, you know. The massacre scene, you know, the ghastly scenes, everything's just horrible, people's heads being cut off, and, you know, very, very heavy scene. All because of one little, not little, but one big, big offense from Daksha. So we have to study what caused him to commit this offense. If we know why he committed the offense, then we can guard ourselves from also from committing Vaishnavapura. Because he was seeing on the bodily platform, you see. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita verse, what is that, 5:18? It is a very important verse for us, you see, to protect us from Vaishnavapura. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmane gavihashtini shuni chaivas sapakecha pandita samadarshinaha. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the elephant, the dog, and even the dog eater. So if we want to protect ourselves from following daksha into a hellish situation, then we should never see on the basis of the body. You see? Discriminate against somebody because of their body. You know, oh, this person's black, so they're, or this is a woman, or this is a man. You see, we should never discriminate on the basis of the body. We should always see, oh, here is a jiva soul, part and parcel of Krishna. We should always have respect, even the tiny ant. That Mugrari the hunter, he was killing the animals half dead, but now he's offering respect even to the little ant. You see. So, this mood we must always cultivate. How to respect every single living entity. As I was explaining recently, what is the first offense against the holy name? To blaspheme the devotees. So you can say, well, I got to be careful not to blaspheme devotees. That's the negative way of dealing with it. But the positive way is I should always respect the devotees. You see? If I'm always respecting you, then there's no room for me to blaspheme you. But if I don't try to cultivate any mood of respect for you, and I just say I don't want to blaspheme them because I don't want to have my head cut off like daksha, that's much more difficult. That's the mayavadi, you know. It's the mayavadi approach. Don't look at a woman. Don't try to enjoy anything. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't. You see, that's the negative way. But the devotee, he can see everything because he uses everything in Krishna's service. He sees nothing as his own property because he automatically sees everything as the property of Krishna. So this is the very easy way to avoid Vaishnava aparadha. Just learn how to love and respect everyone. Everybody has some good quality. So try to see the good in everyone, especially the devotees. Prabhupada explains that every person has a combination of good qualities and bad qualities. You see, I have my good qualities, I have my bad qualities. You have your good qualities and your bad qualities. You see? We all have. So, the Vaishnava, he is honeybee. He just looks for the good qualities, you see. But the fly, he wants to know where is the sore, where is the stool, you see. He immediately wants to look for the bad thing. He's fly. So, Prabhupada explains, the devotee is like the honeybee, he's not like the fly. Karmi is fly. Devotee is honeybee. So, this wonderful society that Prabhupada has given us, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, acronized as ISKCON. You see, this is a wonderful opportunity to learn how to be a honeybee in a field full of flowers. Just like here, this room, temple room with many, many devotees present. Each devotee is a flower. You see, and each one of us should be like a bee and think, how can I appreciate the wonderful nectarian qualities of each and every one of these people in this room, you see. So that's how we should be when we're in the, you know, associating with devotees. Wow, here I am, a honeybee in a field full of flowers, fragrant, beautiful flowers, you see. What mercy can I get from this devotee and that devotee? You see, how can I please them? How can I get blessed by them? One of my disciples just wrote me, he said that, because I warned in a lecture I gave in Lithuania recently, that sometimes when we become very blissful in Krishna consciousness, you know, we do something right, we get some mercy, we become really fired up and enlivened, but then we get proud, thinking, yeah, I'm great. And then it messes it up, see. Srila Gopinatha Ki Jai. As soon as you become proud, then all then that little bubble, that bliss bubble, just pops. So he wanted to know, well, how can I avoid falling back into the, you know, I get all enlivened and all of a sudden I think I get puffed up because I'm so enlivened and so fired up. I must thinking, yeah, I'm a great devotee. So he wanted to know how to keep from getting puffed up when you're feeling really fired up and enlivened in Krishna consciousness. And I told him, you take that, when you feel that great happiness of Krishna consciousness, just think, now I have a duty to share this. I have to serve the whole world. They are suffering in material consciousness. So whatever happiness, whatever joy I'm feeling, this gives me a duty, you see. Now I have to share it with everyone. I have to share this wonderful happiness I'm feeling with everyone so they can also become happy. So in this way, instead of thinking you're great, just thinking, oh, now I have a duty. I have to serve everyone and make everyone happy, you see. This is called Vaishnava. Paraduka Duki. He is very sad to see that the whole world is sad in material life. They're suffering in material life. So he fully dedicates himself to giving Krishna to everyone. This is called Vaishnava. If you want to know what is a Vaishnava, it means one who lives for the benefit of every living entity. He doesn't live only for himself, you see. He lives for the benefit of others. That is the purpose of his existence. So I can ask if there's any questions. I have to leave early today because I'm going to the farm for a retreat. So I have 5 minutes left. If anyone has 5 minutos, if anyone has a question, can ask. Or if not, I get 5 more minutes to pack.
Often it seems that... can you...
Yeah, I'm old body, you know, old man's body, hard of hearing.
At these moments when we need the advice the most from devotees, because we're puffed up, due to that puffed upness, we cannot take their advice. And we do the wrong thing anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
you're asking...
And at the moments when we're in good consciousness, then we don't really need... Well, then we are just in good consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of ironic that at the moment we need the advice the most, we are the least receptible for it.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do before we become puffed up to stay receptible?
Yes, how can you... This is a very nice question you've asked, Prabhu. Just as we need to be humble to take advice, we also need to be humble to chant. The same, you know, that famous shloka of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Janada Pisani Chena. To be able to chant, we have to be very humble, otherwise we won't be able to continue chanting. And to be able to take advice, even if we're in good consciousness, that doesn't mean we don't need advice then, because there's good consciousness, better consciousness, and best consciousness. I mean, who among us is seeing Krishna face to face, eye to eye at every minute, you see? Sometimes someone thinks, well, I'm a well-respected devotee around ISKCON, you know, everyone respects me, and the temple president's pleased with my service, and my guru says he's pleased with my service, so I've got it made, you know. But no. Until you've actually achieved the topmost perfection of Krishna prema, you have to keep working. And working and working and working and working to purify your consciousness. So we all need advice. That's the fact. It's not that, well, I'm nicely engaged, so I don't need advice. Even in the material world, somebody who's a very expert public speaker, they'll hire a speaking consultant to listen to their lectures and critique them, how they can make them even better. You see what I'm saying? So no matter how good you are in Krishna consciousness, you can get even better. In fact, who could be more Krishna conscious than Krishna? But you know what? He always is trying to increase his Krishna consciousness also. Do you know that? Yeah, it's described by Prabhupada. You see? That means Krishna is also a member of ISKCON, see? He's trying to increase his Krishna consciousness too. Because even though he has the unlimited power to know everything, to be absolutely, totally cognizant of everything, because his own glories are expanding infinitesimally at every second. Even though he can fully grasp the complete extent of all of his glories, as soon as he has done that, his glories have expanded another infinitude. So he's always trying, his perception, his consciousness of his own glories is always trying to keep up with his ever-expanding glories and can never quite keep up. So even Krishna doesn't get bored that now he's as Krishna conscious as he possibly can be. His Krishna consciousness is ever-expanding. So if Krishna has to keep expanding his Krishna consciousness, what is our position? So if someone has advice for me, then I'm very eager to hear, oh, someone is giving me some advice, maybe this is another opportunity to increase my Krishna consciousness. Because a devotee is actually greedy for Krishna, just like a businessman, you know, a million isn't enough. A billion isn't enough. Even a trillion is not enough for a fired up businessman. He wants it all. He wants every penny on the face of the planet in his pocket, his bank account. You see, that's a greedy businessman. So, we should be greedy like that for advancing in Krishna consciousness. More Krishna kindness, more bhakti, more realization, more shakti for pushing upon this movement. You see, a devotee is not happy until the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. A devotee's mission is he wants that every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet will be wearing tilak. Everyone will be Krishna conscious. And he doesn't rest easy until everyone has a full set of the books. And they're all chanting 16 rounds a day. He wants the whole planet to become Vaishnava, you see. That's a devotee. So if someone can give me advice on how to be more effective in my preaching, you see, then I'm very eager to hear. That's a devotee. I didn't cover all the aspects of your question, I don't think. I covered one side of the issue. But our time has really run out and we're supposed to leave very shortly, and there's a wedding I'm supposed to be there for, and I have to give a lecture at the wedding. And if I'm not late, they'll be very disappointed. So you can, is there any aspect of the question? Maybe I can quickly, like 30 seconds. Yeah. I mean, I know there was some more aspects of the question that I didn't really touch on fully. All right. So you can save it for later, or Krishna will also give you the answer. Prabhupada told me that. He said, you simply serve with full sincerity of attitude 24 hours a day, and then Krishna will come and personally answer all of your questions. So Krishna has unlimited power, you see. We just have to be fit receptacles to hear from him, and then he will personally come to us and answer all of our questions. Grantharad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.